Gloucestercast 333, take two, boom. We just taped for 23 minutes, and we had a recording malfunction, and the recording device just went dead. We're trying number two now.
We're trying number two, yeah.
After a 3-week hiatus.
Right.
And
that's too bad.
It's I'm very disappointed.
Well, don't beat yourself up about it. Those things
happen. No, I think you should.
Well, you have to.
I think you should be.
You have, if you're not angry and you don't, because then it won't register and you won't try to make the corrective steps in the future.
Yeah. You know, I wish we had like a little flashing red light up above when things were recording. You know what I mean?
Well, it was recording up until the time it cut out.
It just died, and
it didn't save anything. Well,
no excuse.
I wish I had a hockey stick in my hand that I could break over my desk. I don't have that. After last night's Bruins loss.
Well, we get to hear the wonderful story of your wedding. Okay.
So, my two weddings. We got to get right into it.
Jesus. Make it shorter this time, please.
I'm with Chris McCarthy and Kim Smith.
Hola, mi amigo.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Chris and I are just back from Mexico, where we celebrated my second wedding with Kate. First wedding was on the back shore May 1st when it had just snowed the night before.
Was it May 1st or March 1st?
March 1st. Thank you. Yeah.
Good question.
So, yeah, it snowed the night before. We got married the following morning. And the reason we got married, just the two of us on the back shore, was because to get married out of the country is a paperwork nightmare. So we got married, the two of us, because we wanted to get married, have a ceremony out of the country with Connor and Madeline and Eloise, and Chris of all people officiated, and you had to see what he wore, Kim.
Oh, geez.
Did you see the photos?
No, I saw some photos. I don't recall what you were wearing.
He had a graduation gown, like much like a judge,
and he had that was my priest gown.
A priest gown.
Oh my goodness.
And then he had a white Benjamin Franklin with the rollers.
Oh, I did see that.
That was me, Kim.
That was you. I was like, why do they have this comic?
why do they have this comic?
He did a fantastic job. And, you know, so everybody, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that Chris is a comedian, right?
Comedian.
And Kate is like, I know he's gonna do a great job. He's definitely gonna do a good job. He goes, but you have no idea if he's just gonna take the whole thing over and make it about himself. He didn't.
He didn't.
No. He took it very seriously. He had a great kind of sermon, like explaining. He had this whole routine with five glasses of sand. We all dumped them into the same container and how it makes. You know, you mix this up together and it makes this strong bond and. It was great.
Oh,
it was fabulous.
So sweet. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And we stayed at Hard Rock Hotel, one of Kate's hotels, where the service was fabulous.
Right. And those places just sound amazing. I mean, especially this place.
Really. Yeah, it was something else. Yeah. And Chris could tell you, but the service was, we've both been to plenty of all-inclusives, and the service at this place is just over the top, how well they take care of you with a smile every time.
Yeah.
Food was great, top shelf booze, and like you can't go thirsty there. They take two or three sips out of your drink. And,
yeah. Right, and you were saying earlier that's included, the booze is included as well.
All inclusive. Everything. But the girls had a blast. We went to an adventure park about 10 minutes away. Chris ziplined for the first time.
Oh,
yeah, was that fun? Did you love it?
He didn't.
Because I hate heights.
Oh, wow.
We were on poop watch. We didn't know if he was going to poop his pants.
Yeah.
He didn't poop his pants.
So what was that like, being afraid of heights and doing that? I mean, did you enjoy it?
I did. I would go again.
You would?
What was it like jumping off the first time?
I was
terrified.
Petrified. Yeah. Joe was a good coach because he's afraid of heights as well.
And he's done it before.
Yeah.
I mean, your adrenaline, when you get to the top of the first one,
yeah,
your heart's just pumping.
Yeah.
Because the platform is at a gentle slope away from you,
yeah.
and you have to like lay back and just let yourself go and trust everything's going to hold you. So the first time it's a little unnerving,
yeah.
but if they're pretty good runs. I mean, I would say yeah. it's like a half a minute run, a 20 second run. And by the time you get to the end of it and you touch your feet down and you stand up and they unclip you and you exhale,
yeah.
then you're like, I can do this.
You can do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And what's cool is the last one, you land in the water.
Oh, wow. So, wow. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah. That was fun. My daughter had a great time. I didn't think she would do it. My wife did it. So, yeah, it was just a great family activity.
And your daughter is close to Eloise's age. How old is she?
She's 15. Yeah. Well, she's going to be 16.
How old is Eloise now?
Eloise is about to be 14. Yeah,
yeah.
It's 2 years.
So 2 years apart.
Yeah. They're 2 years apart. Eloise and Madeline are 2 years apart on the other end, but Eloise is more like where, you know, kind of mentally where yeah. Mia is than is Madeline. It? Madeline's still kind of a young girl.
A little bit of a girl, you know.
You know,
yeah.
and Eloise yeah. is a teen. Teen. You know,
and,
Oh,
and all
cool.
and all the things that comes.
Yeah.
All the things.
Yeah, they were. Mia and Eloise were like two peas in a pod for that whole trip, hanging out.
And what's cool about this park we went to is they have these four-wheel drive vehicles that is part of the package.
Oh yeah. Wow.
So you go through
that's
caves,
awesome.
Underground
that's awesome.
Caves,
yeah, underground caves,
stalagmites.
Wow. Stalagmites, stalactites.
That must have been good.
And I would just say if anybody goes there, when you drive the Jeep through the water, because the water goes
it's
everywhere.
It's like a mud bog.
Yeah,
yeah,
mud bog. Don't drink the water. Don't
yeah.
keep
Ooh.
Your make sure your
mouth
is
closed. Yeah,
closed. Yeah,
Ooh.
That's key. That's
yeah,
key.
I went through. I got a mouthful. It was so nasty.
Oh my gosh.
So because I went for it. I just
yeah.
like
yeah.
I told the girls I was gonna go for it,
yeah.
and I just hit the gas. And we just got covered in this because it's a water adventure park, so we knew
yeah.
we'd be able to rinse off.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Quick thing back to the all inclusive, because this is word of advice for anybody who goes to any all inclusive or really any beach vacation, bring your Yeti. Because people who don't have Yetis, the drinks, the weather is so warm, it's so humid that the ice melts in 3 seconds.
Oh.
So the smart drinker actually brings their
insulated
yeah.
Tumbler.
Did you guys do that? Did
yeah.
you bring
it? Yeah. yeah. And you can go
seasoned professionals.
Give it to the bartender, or you give it to the server, and they'll fill it up with booze.
I can't find my Yeti. You told me to get one. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know where
it's right
there. No, this is my...
That will work.
Yeah. Doesn't work as well as the Yeti did.
No.
No.
Arctic.
But it's funny. We've been going on vacations a number of years, and when you get to your resort and you see the people drinking out of the tumblers that they brought themselves, you're like, oh, shit. Next time we go on vacation,
you're
we're going to bring...
pack all those.
So now it's like that... Before I even pack my underwear, I'm packing my beverage.
My backpack that I always take, my travel backpack, already has them from the last trip.
Oh,
still in there, ready to go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I have one that's a beer koozie, and it kind of forms around the cans, and then I have one that's more of a tumbler. I bring them both.
Yeah.
That's what professionals do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So yeah. Oh, so this past week, Latitude, now is rebranded to Minglewood.
Minglewood
Harborside.
Yeah.
Went there a couple times. Zach, the general manager, who we did our interview with, said to Kate and I, the interview we did with him, he has got far and away nothing even close to the response to the video interview that we did with him for the blog than any of the other stuff that they
wonderful.
Did,
that's,
which made me feel great.
Yeah, that's great to know that. That's really great to know that.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't have the Serenity card, you know, if you plan on visiting Minglewood, as I mentioned in the video, it's a no-brainer to sign up for the Serenity loyalty card.
What did you guys have when you were there? What did you have that was good?
I am a huge fan, and I can't go there without getting it. They have roasted cauliflower, and they have buffalo cauliflower.
Oh.
And it's delicious.
Really?
All about it. Oh. Yeah, I'm all about it.
Well, Joe eats very healthy, so he looks for those. He looks for those vegan options. He's all vegan. Oh,
the coffee roll.
The coffee roll
got me.
The coffee roll has just entered the stomach.
It's just the large intestine just got filled up with the coffee roll. So Mom's Kitchen.
Oh, yes.
Dave Tucker went to, remember how Susan was talking about the King Arthur baking class?
Yes, yep.
He went to find out how to make the coffee rolls.
Oh, really? Is that what's in that box there?
Yes.
Wow.
And he brought, and last night my sister was ordering a bunch.
Yeah.
For the house.
Right.
And she says, "Do you want one?" to me. And I said, "No," because it's huge. It's a huge thing of carbohydrate and sugar.
Right.
You know, frosting, and it just puts me to, you know, that's a death bomb for me.
Right. Your eyes are very droopy right now.
My eyes are droopy. There you go.
And he's yawning.
My first yawn. It was worth every. So they cut it in half and they grilled it, the same way they used to do it at. Ida's, where Zeke's was before. It was called Ida's Eatery when I was growing up. Tremendous. So they're going so quickly. These coffee rolls are such a huge hit right now.
Right.
They're taking orders and people are going in there and buying like a dozen at a time.
And they're doing it the day before. Is that what you said Felicia did? She bought them yesterday?
She ordered them yesterday, picked them up this morning.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So
I was with Felicia last night and I'm like, oh my God, I got to try one of those.
Right.
And I said, text her now, the owner of Mom's, and add two more. So she did, and she added two more to the order. I went in this morning before coming to see Joe and I picked up two. And I sat him right in front of him.
And you ate one.
And like a seagull.
At first I said, no, I can't do it. And then within 10 seconds of smelling them.
Smelling the cinnamon and the butter.
Oh, my goodness.
No denying it.
Well, I do love those. I'll have to try one.
Yeah. Order it, though.
I would offer you this one, but my daughter would.
She already told me.
You already told her.
Yeah, well, because she was there last night, too, and her mouth was drooling as... So the secret is out, because when I was there, there was a guy in front of me who was taking three of them home, and I think they're in trouble now. They're going to have to...
They're going to have to make a lot more.
Double up.
Wow. Especially now that it's public on Good Morning Gloucester.
So I don't know
Did you take a picture?
I did, and I think I have a post going up. Did I mention that studio's open as well?
Yes, you did, yeah. And Tom and I went there as well with Charlotte the first night.
He's yawning again. He's yawning again, folks.
It was so kid-friendly because, like, we were in, you know, we were sitting at a table. We tried to sit at the bar. Or no, that wasn't the night we had Charlotte. We sat at a table, and then he just took her outside, and she ran around for, you know, 15 minutes while we were waiting for the food.
I say it for the last two or three years in a row, I've said... even though it's not summer, the first session that we put in at the studio makes it feel like the season has begun. You know, like that season.
And especially this year, like, did you know we've had we've broken the record now? I think from 1912 for the most rain. We haven't had the most rain, but we've had the most rainy days.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. So in 1912, it was 19 days, and then I think yesterday made it 20 days. Wow. And that's the most rainy day.
Wow. We had a couple of mild springs the previous to this, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, this one's just, I mean, it's just cold and rainy every day, it seems like. I mean, 20 out of 30 days.
Well, if it's a record, that's something. I always remember April's as being brutal months in the past, but I thought we had like a couple of years of reprieve from it.
And also we, you know, it's balanced out with, you know, it might be rainy for a couple of days and then we'll get sun a couple of days, it seems like.
Well, the Midwest is getting hit with snow.
Like a foot. Which is very late.
No, thank you.
I hope it doesn't, well, it's global climate change. I hope it doesn't come this way.
They should start using that global climate change.
Yeah, they have, people are using it because that was a mistake.
Oh my God, third yawn, folks. Third yawn.
Chris is keeping track. If we were playing a drinking game right now, we'd all be loaded from drinking when Joey yawns.
Once we start talking about the birds, you're just going to conk right out.
No, I'm interested. I have, because I have a vested interest in some of the bird topics today. Okay. So that'll keep me awake.
What, you bet on them? Did you bet on?
I didn't bet on the birds. No, no, we have some topics.
Vegas has the over-under on how many piping plovers are going to survive on Good Harbor. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. We
don't survive or have the, or the, have babies to survive?
We don't even have eggs yet.
Oh, you don't have eggs?
We don't even have eggs yet.
That's because the chicken.
Is that unusual?
The feral cats. The feral cats are picking all the eggs.
Oh, boy, you're going to get a commission for that. You're going to get me in so much trouble.
And the Vikings. And the Vikings.
The Vikings.
The Vikings
and the feral
were lighting
cats.
Fires.
Yep.
Christopher Columbus.
So we don't have eggs yet, and that is not unusual because usually they come, but they've been here for so long, they've been here for a whole month, but because it's been so cold and rainy and, you know, all the activity on the beach at the beginning of the month, it's pushed things, you know, we should be getting eggs any day now because they've been mating like crazy, but the
whoa, hey,
you've noticed that?
How do you know?
I filmed it and all
you
that
did?
Kind of stuff, yeah. The
they have a little bump. What is it called? The cloak?
The
cloaca.
So all
the cloaca is the...
It's called the cloacal kiss when they
they bump touch. Fuzzies.
So most birds have a little V-shaped vent on their underside.
Vent.
And a little vent. But that's they call it a vent because it's part of their digestive system and their urinary tract system and their reproductive.
All one hole. I mean vent.
All one vent. Well, it's V-shaped. I think that's
cloaca.
Cloaca. C-L-O-A-C-A. And so
that should be a spelling.
Yeah.
Spelling bee word.
Words with friends, you'd score like 5,000 points with cloaca.
Scrabble. I am the new Scrabble champion now.
Cloaca.
With that word.
But they do this whole courtship thing, the piping plovers, but then when they are, the male jumps on, it's really kind of beautiful to see, because they,
stop, I'm getting all hot
and bothered.
Do you
want me to tell you in more detail?
Yes.
Really?
You can stop interrupting her so she can tell the story.
I know, but I'm getting all hot and bothered. I mean.
So they have a little courtship ritual that they do where the male digs a little nest scrape, a little tiny little teacup shaped scrape, and then he invites the female over by piping and calling. She comes over, and if she likes what she sees, he'll continue to throw little pebbles or little bits of shells in. And then she'll inspect the nest, and then he'll fan bow his tail up, and she'll inspect his cloaca as well. And then if she
just
likes...
Just like humans.
And then if she likes what she sees, he does this really funny little goose step all around her, like a very funny, like, military high step all around her. And then if she's still interested, because she runs off at any time, you know, if she just... Whatever.
Tough to get. Hard to get.
Hard to get.
Another yawn.
And then he jumps on her back, and then he does some more high-stepping on her back.
Hammer time.
And then he, like, pins her down for a brief second. This part is not fun to watch, because she doesn't like it. He pins her down.
Head down, ass up.
And they touch cloaca to cloaca, and then it only takes a few seconds for the sperm to pass to the
me too. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then they shaming. Then they fly off. There's no cuddling or anything like that. Then they just kind of, like, go to their little separate
corners.
And
then they never talk to each other?
No, this happens, like, repeatedly during the nesting.
Is this before or after they get married?
This is after they get married.
So do they come back together again
when
their kids are born?
No, they do it periodically throughout the whole courting season until all four eggs are laid. And the female can hold the sperm in for a while, a number of days. So even though they've already had, like, some, you know...
Another yawn.
Doing some mating, they
that's interesting.
They haven't laid any eggs yet. And she just waits. I think she just waits for the temperature to be right and before she starts. Because once they start laying the eggs, they don't sit on them until all four eggs are laid. Because the birds are so mobile when they're first born, you can't have the one parent sitting on the egg while another one's running around.
Yeah, like so, triplets.
Right. So they wait until all three, or mostly four eggs, are laid, and then they begin sitting on the eggs. So what, are you awake? Did you say
what do piping plover eggs taste like?
Well, they used to be very, people used to actually eat them. Yeah, they're beautiful little, they're about that big. So that's like an inch and a half. Ovoid, they're pale.
Like a golf ball?
Yeah, like a golf ball, but more egg-shaped. And people used to collect them in dunes and eat them. So during the late 1800s, that was one reason why they were struggling. And then people, the plume hunters, because it was the late ladies' fashion to have huge feathers on their hats, and then they'd even have whole birds on their hats.
So Chris, so what she's talking about with the plumes and stuff, and it was what years was this?
This was prior to 1912.
When we go to the Corkscrew Sanctuary in Naples, there's a whole board that talks about how they made this sanctuary because these. Right. So many of these birds were being hunted for their plumes, for fashion. What she's talking about. Just remember what she's talking about, you'll see the boards when we go for that walk.
For decades, there were no piping plovers in Massachusetts breeding anymore. No egrets. You know how we see all the beautiful snowy egrets and the great egrets and the great blue herons. They were. You can see pictures of like 20,000 birds dead hanging, because that's how, I mean, people were just mad for these, you know, hat decorations. Wow. So that's why the Migratory Bird Species Act was created in 1912 to protect the migratory birds.
And that's why it goes back that far, 1912.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's taken decades for a recovery to take place. But even Joe can attest to, like, he never recalls seeing egrets around the marshes around here, and now we have them back.
Well, he has a lot of hats with feathers. Right, Joe?
Is that the Naples the name of the sanctuary?
Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary,
and it's an Audubon, it's a National Audubon property, or Florida Audubon.
Corkscrew Swamp is Audubon, it says just Audubon.
Audubon, so then that's probably a National Audubon property.
So it's, a sense of responsibility and ownership pervades Rhett Green's words uttered more than a century ago as he reflected on his role as an Audubon warden. No one's going to treat my birds that way. For several years, Rhett risked his life to protect the denizens of the Corkscrew Rookery from plume hunters. Rhett's attitude of ownership strikes a chord with me. It marks the difference. So... Yeah. So that's and they
that
have
looks like a great place.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary.
Can you bring wine?
I don't. Plume hunters, wardens, and founding. In the late 1800s, a lucrative profession was found in Corkscrew. The graceful plumes of egrets and other wading birds were sought by milliners around the world to adorn women's hats. The fashion craze caused the plumes to become equal to their weight in gold. Hunters destroyed entire breeding colonies. So that was...
it's pretty wild.
Protected. 1912 to 1917.
Is when they devised the Protective Species Act.
And what did you say?
I said 1912 to 1918.
Yeah, there you go. See?
So
there's a lot of...
So you're off by 1 year.
Well, they start... It gets confusing when you're reading because they started it in 1912, but I don't think it passed until 1917.
No.
So, I see. Yeah.
Very cool.
So,
what you learn, I'm telling you, on Good Morning Gloucester. I mean, much more than I've ever learned.
See, if you paid attention to Good Morning Gloucester, you'd know that there were scratches in the parking lot.
It's been there since April 13th.
But some people refuse to read Good Morning Gloucester, and they wouldn't know about these things, even though that they're... You know, they consider themselves big-time bird people. They consider Good Morning Gloucester to be beneath
them. Well, that person
them.
Is probably not listening anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, what do we care?
Why am I worried? Do you call
yourselves birdies?
No, but there are people call themselves birders.
Oh, that's birders, not birdies.
Birders. That's a common name. So, tell me about your hummingbird feeder.
Oh, so I...
Did it come?
It came.
Yeah.
It's not hanging yet.
Yeah.
The only reason it's not hanging is because I'm waiting for my awning to be put up.
Okay.
Well, and then I'm going to hang it.
Well, you can just hang it anywhere now. You don't have to wait. Just hang it anywhere. Just to get them to come.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just to get them to
come. Well, it's not red, though.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
So I want to explain the story. So Paul Morrison...
Yeah.
Had posted a hummingbird migratory, like, you know, sightings map.
Right, like they have, for, it's from Journey North, and they have them for, you know, different robins, species.
Yeah.
Monarchs.
And he says, oh, they're about to be here. I'm going to put out, he said, I'm going to put out my bird feeders. And then, so I went to Amazon, and I saw, and I saw one. And I, so,
the one he
pictured was like this plastic hunky for donkey one.
Right.
And I'm like, Kate's not going to go for that. It has to be somewhat aesthetically pleasing.
Right, there's some that are really pretty out there. The one you picked was nice, I thought.
Well, the one that we picked is like, it's like fashioned like a mason jar.
Yeah, it's nice.
But it's like a pale green that it wouldn't be obtrusive. But upon further reading, the hummingbirds are really attracted to red flowers.
They like red flowers. So put some red plastic flowers underneath it for a while, and that will help get them there. And never use red food coloring. Never, 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 never use red food coloring.
Some people buy the stuff that's already pre-mixed.
Don't buy the pre-mixed. You will just don't. Never put honey in it. It's 4 parts water to 1 part sugar.
There
you go. So 1 cup of water, 1/4 cup of sugar. Sometimes
Do you boil it first?
I never boil it.
You can just mix it up?
I just mix it up and put it in.
There
so
you go.
We've had hummingbirds. Already, so
I want to see them. I love
awesome.
Watching hummingbirds are cool.
Yeah.
Oh, they're really cool.
But you know what?
I had something I hung out at my other house in Danvers.
And did you get
it?
It
was really, it was really cool.
So, we want me to tell you, we got hummingbirds the first time like 10 years ago, and I was sitting on my office, and I heard this little squeak like a mouse, squeak, 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 and I had planted this beautiful climbing vine called a cardinal climber, and it was like September, and it was just loving every second of being on the cardinal climber. So that, you know, in the programs that I give, I have a whole bunch of plants that people can plant that because you have your feeders, but if you want them to stay around your garden, if you have native honeysuckle, they will just stay at your garden all summer long. So we have a female now that comes every year, and I never see the male. We just always see the female, and then towards the middle of the summer, we see the babies at the feeder. So,
oh, wow.
And you'll never see a hummingbird nest because it's as big as a walnut.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, tucked into a vine. And the eggs are the size of pearls.
Oh.
So if you're super lucky, you might see one. But,
eyes will probably glaze over.
Right. A ruby-throated hummingbird nest is very, very difficult to find.
So we have, I've documented finch family.
Yeah.
And we have some good news and some bad news. So the good news is the babies are hatching. The bad news is that so the nest is kind of round and there's one that is just stuck in the nest on the side, but it's dead.
It's dead.
And I don't know why it's dead.
Can you,
it's dead.
I don't know. Like
I don't want to touch it.
Survival of the fittest.
I personally might take it away if there were other predatory birds around. Like
How would I take it away?
If it's just, you said it's just kind of like hanging there, right?
Just
get a ladder and just like put a glove on and just take it away if it's dead.
Touch it. You could get the bird.
Lice.
Bird flu.
I don't want to get the bird flu.
Just put a glove on then if you don't want to touch it. Just put a glove, rubber glove on.
Joe,
do it that way.
We've always been told you got to put the glove on. Whenever.
You know. But birds do carry lice, so you're wise to be cautious.
Lice?
I would just, you know.
See, I am very, when it comes to nature, I am standoffish.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. Neither Joe or I could get lice.
No.
Well, I have a better chance.
Because we don't have any here.
So,
but if you wanted to, I mean, you could just leave it there, but I would worry that it would attract like a crow that might want to come along and eat it, and then the crows might want to eat all of the babies, or you know what I mean?
There's no place for the crow to literally stand though to get at it. They'd have to pick it off on the fly.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah?
No, yeah, don't worry, they can do that.
Joe, I'm going to have to leave this wonderful podcast. I'd like to thank you for having me, Kim. It was a pleasure seeing you as always.
Hi, Chris.
I have to go poop. and I'm not going to go poop.
Can I look at it? I don't want to eat it. I'm not going to take it from you. Oh, it's humongous.
You have to explain to the listeners what you were asking to see.
Right, I'm sorry. It's
can I see it? Oh, that looks
good. It's a cinnamon roll. I want clarification.
Oh my God.
Let me see. Let me see what you get
plus
there.
Plus, it weighs like a pound.
Well, that's what they say.
That's what you ate.
That's what all the ladies say about Christmas.
You ate the whole thing, and it was a bit loud.
I didn't eat it, Kim. You're the one who asked to see it. I didn't ask to see it.
Oh, my God.
I really didn't want to see it, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
Going
south very quickly.
I did not want to see it. So
good to see you guys.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
thank you
Joe,
for the coffee.
Thanks for having us.
Did we mention Mom's the coffee roll, where we got it?
Yes.
I can't remember. Did we do it the first time?
Just in case.
I didn't take a picture.
I got a picture.
Oh, okay.
Mom's Kitchen.
You got it. But you're gonna
They're making these killer coffee rolls.
Oh, they're unbelievable.
And
secret's out.
The secret
is
out.
A must.
You order
but
them.
But don't tell anybody.
So if I went there after the podcast, I would be anywhere.
When I picked up these two at 7:45 this morning, she only had three left.
Okay.
Because people had already called saying, save me two,
okay.
Save me four.
And that's enough to feed like three people right there.
It is. Or Joe.
I have to take one of our topics off because one of the topics was male pattern baldness. And now that you're leaving, now we can't talk about it.
I have nothing to add on that topic other than the fact that I'm bald.
I understand.
Don't know how.
We can save that topic for another podcast.
Well, let me hang out for 1 minute because it shouldn't be.
You're the expert on male pattern baldness, so that's why I was there. So I went for a haircut the other day.
You're never going to be able to get
which done. I don't need to.
No. This is interesting to me. So
I went to a barber.
Chris shaves his head.
Yes.
And so here's the thing. I'm losing. I'm slowly.
You shave your head even though you're bald?
Yeah, well, because am I peeling? Look at all the peeling. Jeez, I don't want to add skin to this place.
to the crime scene.
So my male pattern baldness has been progressing as a bald spot in the back of my head. Right?
Right. Well, I didn't notice because I always see you from the front, so.
Oh, really? You didn't notice? See, that's good to know. Okay,
yeah.
So here's the thing.
I'm
self-conscious about it.
She's lying.
No, I don't notice it because I always see you from the front, or you have like a cap on or something.
So here's the thing. So in photos, when I see myself naked. When I see myself in photos, it looks like I have a very pronounced bald spot.
You do.
That I look
like a
monk, like I have a band of hair around the sides.
Now, see, why are you telling me this? Because I'm not going to have this in my head when I see
Joe, it doesn't look like it. You do.
Well,
stop.
So I go to get my hair cut, and the girl says, well, you know, how do you want it done? And I'm like, I said to her, I have to be honest with you. Like, I used to have a more hair than I have. I don't even know what to tell you anymore because when I see myself in photos, I feel like I look like a monk because of my bald spot in the back of my head.
What did she say? Was she helpful? Did she have any?
I think she was helpful. I mean, I think it looks all right. She said, go shorter on the sides so then it'll just look like it's
right.
all kind of
well,
natural.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Eventually I see myself down the road where I have to make a hard decision.
It's not that hard, Joe.
Yeah.
What's hard about it?
Because I have
Are you saying that there's something wrong?
Take your hat off for a second. See, you don't have as I feel like you don't have as big as a forehead as me.
Yeah, but I have.
I feel like you have a 5 or a 6 head, and I have like a 9 head.
No, it doesn't matter. You know what? It doesn't matter.
Well, now that we're married, we don't have to worry about our appearance. Is that what you're saying?
Now that we're old, it doesn't matter. Jeez.
I'm trying to hang on. So you said you shave your head.
I do.
And one of my questions was, how do you? He shaves it in the shower.
Yeah.
With the same razor that I shave my face with.
And I always wondered, like, how do you know you got everything when you in the when I try to shave, I feel it all over. When I try to shave the back of my neck and stuff, like lower, like right there, I feel like I always miss spots.
Do you have to shave it every day or
no, like every 4 days?
Oh, okay.
Unless I have something special going on.
Yeah, that's manageable.
Yeah, but
yeah.
No, and
put on one of those things and see what it looks like.
A wig?
No, not a wig. Like a thing that makes you have no hair at all, makes you bald. You know what I mean? That's like
a cone head.
Like a cone head.
Yeah. Well, when I shave my head, I'm a cone head. It's
feels pretty like, much a natural like cone head.
Yeah. If you touch it, everybody's it feels like a baby's head. Ass. Yeah. Everybody's head is kind of.
But that brings up a good point in terms of grooming is manscaping. I mean, there's a company out there called Manscaping.
Mick, you said this.
Yeah, our friend Mick bought me a manscaping kit. He bought.
So that prohibits you from nicking your nuts when you shave your nuts? Is that the whole idea behind it?
No,
because I've seen the ads on TV. It's like, oh, I can get a nice close shave and it doesn't, I don't nick my nuts. Isn't that the idea, though?
Is that, I don't know.
It's, I don't know if it's just protection.
See, I take them. I have like one of those old school barber buzzers.
Right.
And you use that?
I take those to my things to try to get nice, smooth.
To your colloquial?
And every once in a while, it fucking catches. And I'm like, and it sends me about 4 feet in the air. I'm like, oh! And jump like a bastard. I mean, it's scary. I mean, I feel like I'm taking my life in my hands.
No, but the Manscaped device comes with an attachment, so it does.
It has like a little buffer to
from those things. That's what I hear. That's what.
Oh, you haven't used it yet? Because I thought you got that for Christmas.
I have used it. I'll be honest. I was lying. I apologize. But what's really good is that they give you newspapers, their own newspaper, so. What the instructions say to shave yourself over the newspaper so that as you're looking down, it's right, bold print, you can read the newspaper.
Oh, because they make it the print on the newspaper is big.
And they're humorous articles, short humorous articles. So you're able to manscape yourself and also read
That would be a little dangerous.
Well,
manscaping?
No.
Not paying attention.
Not paying attention. Reading.
So obviously, like,
does it really come with newspapers?
It does. Yeah, I'm not lying. Second best part is it comes with cream.
Do you put a spritzer. Cream?
Yeah, cream.
After shave?
Yeah.
You're nuts?
Not shaving cream. This is post.
Oh, just like a salve.
It's a post.
Like a balm. A bag balm. That's a bag bomb. That's what you would call bag bomb, right? So, anyway.
Bag bomb with something to do with like
I hope, or something. I hope this one deletes itself.
This one died.
No, but so that's what I use. Bomb. So what I do is
look
I don't.
At Kim. She's like, oh, look at what time it is. It's time to go.
Time for me to
no, no, I don't buy it. I don't buy. I don't buy a newspaper either. But I get the ones that they have. At Stop and Shop, when I'm leaving Stop and Shop, like the flyers. So I'll put that on the ground. But I'm not reading because I'm trying to pay attention so I don't get anything caught in the blades.
You should be doing
that. Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's not like I read and I'm shaving. It's like, you know, I take a couple swipes and then I look at that. That's a good article. You know, I make a half an hour. It's just me and the shaver for a half hour.
And the bag bomb.
There is such a
thing as
a bag bomb. What is bag bomb made out of?
I have no idea. It's made.
I'm reading the ingredients.
Oh, so you on manscaped.com?
No, I'm on bagbomb.com.
There's probably aloe. I'm guessing aloe.
There is actually something called bag bomb.
But the other item.
They even have it for dogs.
It's for your nuts.
Yeah, paw pad protection.
When they get neutered, it's the same stuff they
use. You want
your
nuts to be supple.
But they also have this spritz.
And what does that do for you?
It's like a mist. So, like, if you just come out of the shower, you're feeling good, you're going on a date, and you need to smell good down below.
Clean up the taint?
Yeah. Yeah. It's psst. And
you lift up the thing and then put a little spritz on
it. It's good smelling. It doesn't burn. And it's like Old Spice 40 years ago.
Canoe. I was a canoe guy.
Aqua Velva.
Karate. I love it.
I'm sorry, I'm just not participating.
I don't think you can post this one.
No, that's fine. Chris, it was nice to see you. Thanks for the coffee. Yeah. Thanks for the Mum's coffee roll.
Thanks for eating the coffee roll. Again, go to Mum's. You got to try the coffee rolls.
Well, it's just after really you good. Shave your nuts, go down to
but
Mum's.
But don't tell anybody.
And it has a, like a super 1-inch thick layer of sugar on it, too, of frosting.
A frosting. Yeah. Homemade frosting.
Homemade frosting.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go wrong.
1-inch layer.
1-inch layer.
On top of the, that's the frosting that you eat afterwards.
I have to go too, Joe.
I'm going to see how many piping plovers are in the parking lot.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to go do donuts in the Good Harbor parking lot right now.
Stop. You're terrible. All right.
Sorry, no, I'm not.
Bye.
There you go. Gloucester Cast.
Go Joe, right here.
Gloucester Cast. 3-3-3 in the books. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thank you.